One of the things that surprised me in my visit to Portugal and Spain was that everywhere we went, and we were often in big cities and urban centers and commercial areas, everywhere we went, there were signs, Black Friday sale, everywhere. I must have seen hundreds of Black Friday sales, 50% off. In English, not Portuguese or Spanish, English, Black Friday sale. Which shows the influence of the business model in the United States, because Black Friday is connected to Thanksgiving, the day after Thanksgiving, and there's no Thanksgiving in Portugal and Spain. They just kept the business part and didn't absorb the cultural Thanksgiving part. Anyway, that's not important for us, but I mention it because today's Friday, and if you get online or if you go anywhere that's connected to business, you're going to see something about Black Friday. Maybe you should add one more thought about Black Friday. This won't last. Just like Jesus says, heaven and earth will pass away. Black Friday, this phenomenon will pass away. And in fact, it already has in a certain sense, because I was in Europe 2 weeks ago. That wasn't Black Friday yet, and the sales were already started. So it doesn't really mean Black Friday anyway. It just means sale before Christmas. And before long, those sales will disappear, because most people do their shopping online now. They don't go to those stores anyway. So earthly things will pass away. Well, let's set that aside and take a look at the scriptures. You probably noticed that in today's readings, there's the contrast between a very unusual first reading, full of unusual symbols and beasts, and something very ordinary in the gospel, the budding of a tree. Both of which are important because these are two ways in which God communicates with us, through extraordinary things, fantastic things, miraculous things, and ordinary things, day-to-day ordinary things. When it comes to trying to reveal the kingdom of God, the Lord uses both of these. This is the week of the Christ the King, right? We're celebrating the end of time and the glorious reign of Jesus Christ over the whole universe. How do we describe such a thing? Well, we can use earthly symbols like kings and thrones and palms or fig trees, but it's more than ordinary, right? This is an extraordinary kingdom, so we can also use fantastic imagery, and for us it usually means something of huge magnitude, off the scale, like cosmic forces and galaxies and black holes and whatever, astronomical distances and this sort of thing, to show us that we're talking about something that's not just ordinary, everyday reality. So the kingdom of God, which encompasses the whole universe, is both revealed in extraordinary ways and in ordinary ways. Well, let's look at the prophet Daniel. Remember, we've been reading from Daniel all week. And Daniel has a lot of examples of what we call apocalyptic symbolism, or it's an example of apocalyptic literature. So it's read at the end of the year, end of the liturgical year. We're in year one in the two-year cycle of daily readings. In year two, at the end of the year, we read from the book of Revelation, which is also an apocalyptic book and uses a lot of the same kind of symbolism, beasts and cosmic events. Well, earlier this week, it was other people who had visions. The king who had the vision of the big statue, the king who had the vision of the handwriting on the wall. In this reading, it's Daniel himself who has the vision, and it's much more elaborate than whatever the king saw. Four immense beasts, one like a lion, one like a bear, one like a leopard, and one different from all the others, and then all these descriptions of horns and wings and iron teeth and trampling with big feet and all this. Say, what is this? What is this? This is an attempt to convey earthly kingdoms and all their intimidating power over us. You could pick out any earthly kingdom, especially one that's having enormous influence in the world, and say, that's like a beast. And some beasts are worse than others or more powerful than others. And we typically do use symbolism to symbolize countries. But if you notice, like we have seen throughout this week, in fact, for several weeks, maybe for the whole month of November, there's, at the same time as we recognize something terrible which will take place, there's after it something glorious. And this reading has that exact dynamic. The first half of the reading is the description of these four beasts, especially the last one, which was so horrible and so terrifying to Daniel. And then after that, a description of something glorious with heavenly glory. As I watched, thrones were set up and the Ancient One took his throne. And he's not horrible and terrifying. He's clothed in snow white. His hair is white as wool. His throne is flames of fire. And there's something extraordinary about him. And then there's countless angels ministering to him. It's an image of God. God on his throne. Then the horrible beasts are thrown down, easily defeated by this Ancient One. And then along comes this one like a son of man who reaches the Ancient One and is presented with an everlasting kingdom. This is an image of Jesus Christ, King of Kings, King of the Universe. Daniel couldn't have known that. He didn't know the mystery of the Trinity, but he received this prophetic vision and he wrote it down. And now we can see God revealed ahead of time what we would come later to understand as the relationship between the Father and the Son and how they can both reign together, one reign. So this one like a son of man receives dominion and glory and kingship, and nations and peoples of every language serve him. He has a dominion which will never be taken away, a kingship that will never be destroyed. That's what we celebrate this week. Kingdom that will never be destroyed. A good kingdom, not a beastly kingdom, not a horrifying, a terrible, terrifying kingdom, but a glorious kingdom. Well, it's horrifying if you try to resist it. It's terrible if you try to resist it because you're going to be crushed like these beasts. But if you welcome the kingship of Jesus Christ, it's a glorious vision. We go from this glorious vision to this very ordinary idea of a tree. And he says a fig tree, and then he says, well, all trees, all the other trees, all the fruit trees. In fact, every tree. It's so ordinary, you can look at any tree and say it's a symbol of the coming of the kingdom of God. When you see the buds first, you know that summer is coming. The tree is growing. This is God is the creator of all things, and he made things the way he did because of his own purposes. He's the one who came up with the idea of trees in the first place and filled the earth with trees. He wants us to know that time has... we've talked about this in many, many cases. It's both linear and cyclical, right? There are cycles of time, like the seasons. Rainy season, hot season, summer, winter. But there's also a linear aspect of time. It goes from beginning to end. And the scriptures make it clear there is an end. There is a time when earthly things will cease. And that's what Jesus is pointing out here. So it's not as if everything's the same all the time and it never changes. Even trees change. They come and go. They bud and then they bear fruit and then their leaves fall off and they go through the cycle again. Everything changes. But everything changes in moving in the direction of fulfillment. Let me share another trivial example from the news. You probably don't follow this sort of thing, but I used to collect pennies when I was a kid, coins. I've always been interested in currency because it's just so interesting. Although I don't know what I did with my collection. It wasn't very big anyway, but the U.S. government decided this year to stop making pennies because they weren't worth it. And it cost more to make them than the value of the penny. The penny is 1 cent, right? 1/100 of a dollar. So they decided not to make any more pennies, and okay, well, that's the end of that. 232 years, pennies have been minted in the United States, and now no more. Okay, well, it's another example of things that pass away. I mean, coins pass away. you use them, they're valuable when they're still in circulation, but then they're not, unless they become collector's items. I remember when I first came to the Philippines, I loved those 2 peso coins. They weren't even round, they were 11 sides, 12 sides, 13 sides, I don't remember, 11 sides anyway, they weren't round and they were big. You really felt like you were holding a lot of money. Well, those 2 peso coins have been out of circulation for years. They passed away. Heaven and earth will pass away. Coins pass away. Anyway, the U.S. Penny, 1 cent coin, passed away. But the reason why I bring this up is because the U.S. Mint decided on the very last coins that they minted, they put a little symbol, the omega. Isn't that interesting? Greek last letter, the last letter of the Greek alphabet, omega, which is the symbol of the end, as if to say, this is the last run of pennies. It's a very interesting thing that they use omega. I mean, it's not the last letter of the English alphabet. They could have put a Z, I suppose, but nobody would know what it meant. But everybody knows that omega means last. It's a scriptural image. Jesus is the first and the last, the Alpha and the Omega. So here, even the secular government, by indicating that pennies don't last, there is such thing as an omega, a last. It's another sign of what Jesus says here, that everything passes away. You don't have pennies forever. Okay, let's look at what he says. You look at a tree, you can tell by looking at the tree, the ordinary tree, its ordinary life cycle, you can see what's coming. And he says, in the same way, you should be able to look at signs in creation, signs in the development of societies, including disasters and the terrible things he's spoken about in the last 2 days, right? Persecutions, earthquakes, wars, all kinds of terrible things. He says, when you see these things, then you should see them as signs that the kingdom of God is near. Well, these signs have been present in every generation since Jesus said this, meaning the kingdom of God has been near all this time. Then he says, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Well, that generation he was speaking to passed away a long time ago. And the kingdom of God arrived a long time ago because Jesus was here and he died and rose again. Then he says, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. Now, he's not talking about that generation that he was addressing in the moment. He's talking about the big picture. Heaven and earth will pass away. All physical, material realities are temporal. They don't last, including pennies. But my words will not pass away. There's something that has been revealed to us that is permanent, lasting. And that's where our hope always must be based. If ever we put our security in money or in possessions or in any earthly thing, it's going to disappoint us. But when we put our security in the Lord, in His Word, in His love, in His mercy, in His kingdom, then we're standing on solid ground. And we can look forward to the coming of the King. He's already with us, but he hasn't manifested fully his glory. We're still living in a valley of tears. But we don't lose our hope, even though all we may see is suffering and all we may experience is difficulty. But we know, because God's word doesn't pass away, we know that the time will come when the Son of Man will take his throne. It was prophesied by Daniel. So with that confidence, we continue to go forward, celebrating the kingdom of God in our midst.